know, earlier we sang a song that said, Lord, have your way. And I think sometimes we're reluctant to pray that kind of prayer or to say that to Jesus, God, have your way, because that means that we'll have to give up our way. But if you don't know, the Lord's way is awesome. God's way is good. And so his way is healing. His way is peace. His way is joy. It's freedom. It's victory. It's restoration. It's forgiveness. His way is prosperity. His way is good. So when we hold on to our way, we're actually holding on to the lesser. It's not an even trade-off. It's really not a fair trade-off that he gives us so much good when we let go of our own will and way. So what I'd like for us to do for just a moment is have an experience with God. If you came here, I believe you expected an experience with God. Why would we be here if that wasn't what we're after? So if you would you raise your hands to heaven? Just give him a little bit more than you would normally give. And look up to God and say, Lord, have your way in my life. I lay down all of the things that I'm running after. I lay down all of my wants and just everything that is consuming me, God. Have your way. God, fill me with peace and joy and righteousness and blessing and love and abundance, God. As I honor you and as I obey you and as I worship you, Father, I pray that everyone in this place that is asking would have a moment with you to experience you like never before, even if it's just a touch, if it's just you to tell them that you love them or that they're gonna make it. Maybe they need direction. Father, I just pray, God, that each person would just sense you. God, you're our guest of honor, and we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise because you are worthy. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Look, if you love the Lord, give him a hand clap of praise. Give him a little bit more. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, young people. Are you excited to be here today? Isn't that awesome? All right. You can be seated. I love seeing teenagers right here. It's the best. This is the best service because here's all the teenagers. If you have a teenager and they are not a part of our Key Point Youth, I would encourage you to get them there. Even if they don't want to be there, tell them you're going. Make them. I had a friend's mama do that to me when I was in seventh grade, and she said, you're going to the church's youth group. And we said, nuh-uh. And she said, uh-huh. And sure enough, she dropped us off week after week. We begged her, please don't make us go there. Nobody talks to us. Week after week. Then she dropped us off. And she would leave us, and as soon as it was over, we would call her, and she'd say, oh, I'm coming to get you, but she'd take her time. And so we were forced to get to know people, and about after 4 or 5 weeks, we're like, we love it, and it completely changed my life. It's where I first went into ministry and where I met Casey. It taught me how to be a leader. It taught me how to love God. It taught me how to get involved in church, and my life radically changed. Parents, get your children involved in youth ministry and children's ministry at church. Amen? That's just the side bit. In Louisiana, we call that lanyap. That's just a little extra. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about today. I just thought I'd share that with you. All right, so we're in a message series called So Others May Live. We only have a few weeks left in this series, and it's been so good so far. We have had so many people tell us how God's speaking to them and challenging them. Last week, we started our CEI, our Campus Expansion Initiative. If you don't know what that is, please listen to the message. We have CDs, we have an app, it's podcast, it's online. We have so many ways you can get the message. Pass it to people. It's going to share with you the future of Key Point Church, where we believe that God is sending us and leading us. We're talking about an expansion here, talking about building in Fayetteville and buying land, and then more campuses over the next 5 to 10 years. God wants us to win souls, and so we are after souls. So that is where we're going. Listen to that as soon as you can. You might want to listen to it again. But today, the title of my message is, you gotta pray just to make it today. Anybody feeling MC Hammer? Come on. I thought about maybe doing the Running Man, but I thought maybe not. And so I chose not to. But, you know, I mean, I'm bringing back the 80s a little bit. Y'all know you did the Running Man. I could do it. I didn't look great, but I could do the Running Man. All right, you got to pray just to make it today. If you want to see change in your life or growth, miracles, going to the next level, if you want to see these things happen in your life, look to the person next to you and tell them, that's me. That's me. You're talking about me. I want to see. Now look to the other person because you ignored them and said, sorry, that's me. I chose you second. That's okay. That's okay. Well, that's me too. That's me too. There's things in my life personally that I want to see happen. There's things in my family with my siblings and all that I want to see happen. And really, it's going to be a miracle. There's things in me personally that I want to see change and growth and go to the next level. And then in this church, we have desires. We have desires to expand here, to expand our children's ministry and our lobby because we are at complete capacity in our children's ministry. We can't handle anybody else. And you can listen to that in last week's message, but God is blessing our church. Down in Fayetteville, we wanna build and get our own building there. And we have a big vision that we believe that God has given us. And there's a lot we want to see. And I believe in your life, there's probably a lot that you're looking forward to or a lot that you want to see changed. A lot of people want to see miracles, change, growth. But have you ever noticed the disconnect between what you want and what you need and what you get? Have you ever noticed that? There seems to be this disconnect. And if only there was a secret that we could unlock to bring about the change, to bring about the miracle. If only there was a secret. Well, there is a secret. Really, it's not a secret. It's actually the foundation of change, and it's prayer. It's simple. It's prayer. Now, don't check out on me, because I know if you're like me, I'm very tempted to yawn a little bit when I hear the word prayer, or a sermon about prayer, or a message. I don't know. It's just not a real, there's not a hook. You know, I don't go, ooh, I want to hear about that. Because prayer, sometimes we dismiss it as something that's boring or ineffective. A lot of us think prayer is intimidating. And I understand that because so many people really don't have any idea what or how to pray, what to do when they pray. Do you just tell God what you need all the time? What do I do? So it's intimidating. And then you've got people, most of us, that feel guilty for not praying enough. I mean, it's a vicious cycle that the enemy wants to put us in with prayer. But none of that is the way that God would describe how he wants me and you to talk to him. And that's all prayer is. It is simply a conversation with God. That's it. Just a conversation with God. Yet we try to make it so complicated. Today, I want to uncomplicate it for you, and I want to answer these three questions. Why do I pray? What do I pray? And how do I pray? And my hope, by the end of this message, that you will see just how powerful and enjoyable prayer actually is. And I pray that you will commit to it and have a desire to and watch your life change. We have some friends at this church, Kyle and Rebecca Kerwin, who totally understand this. They got involved after coming to the church for a while in the prayer of the church, and they saw so much more fulfillment take place in their life. I would love for you to look at their story.
Springdale campus since it opened. We started up at North with, you know, behind the post office and, you know, where nobody could find you, but we had that's kind of where we started. And
we found it.
That's right.
One of the things I was really praying about was how God wanted me to serve in the church. And so when the life groups opened up, I joined and said I wanted to have a ladies group and had it in my home. And that was incredible, the things that I saw happen in that life group. And then we were invited to join as members of the altar ministry, and that has been phenomenal.
So there's something about praying for other people that helps you take, you know, helps you not worry about your own problems and the things going on in your life every day, and it gives you more of a kingdom-minded focus. And that's what we're supposed to be focusing on anyways. We're supposed to focus on God. And by praying for others and with others, that in itself has been a tremendous blessing that's allowed us to grow as a couple and as individuals.
Eye-opening experience of seeing what God's doing in the lives of others. The more people we connected with, we could just see how it was changing our lives, not only just with being able to serve, but all the relationships that we were making with people. And I noticed that having those connections and those friendships where we could share our lives with people and then they would share their lives back with us, it made a real big difference in our lives and how connected we felt in with the church and in with the church body.
I would say God's still doing it.
God's still doing it. He did it. He's doing
it again.
He's going
to continue to do it.
What Kyle and Rebecca said, they said as they started to pray for themselves and for other people, their life felt blessed. Prayer is the key. It's really the key to enjoyment and happiness and fulfillment in your life. So let's talk about the first question. Why do I pray? Why? Well, let's think about building a house. What's the first thing you do when you build a house? Anybody say, is there any contractors in here? What's the first thing you do? You build the foundation. You build the foundation because if you'd start framing that house on dirt, you're going to have a serious problem later with no foundation. Prayer is the foundation for any miracle, for any change that we want to see in our life. That's where you have to start. Open up to James chapter 5, 16 through 18. I want to read you this scripture that I think depicts just perfectly. It answers these questions. Why, what, and how do I pray? James 5, 16, it says, the prayer of a righteous person, that's a person that has a relationship with God and right standing with Him, not a perfect person, just a prayer of a person that has a relationship with God, is powerful and effective. Elijah, well, he was a prophet in the Old Testament, was a human being even as we are, so he had no special power. He was human. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Again, verse 18, he prayed and the heavens gave up rain and the earth produced its crops. I want you to look at these two words, powerful and effective. In the original Greek language, the word powerful means to be fully able, to have resources, and then I love this, just can. I mean, just can. I can. He can. And then effective means to put it in operation, to cause a state to be, results to bring about. So what God is saying to us, to you today, is that the prayer of a righteous person is fully able, has the resources to put it in operation, to cause to be, to see results, and bring about what you're praying for. That's God's promise to you. Now, how can having a conversation with God do that? Well, let me explain to you how. When we pray, our words do not just float around in the sky, and they're not just wishes that we send off to the universe. Our prayers, when our heart is directed to Jesus, actually go to Him in the spiritual world. And yes, there is a spiritual world, and that's where He lives. There is a physical world and there is a spiritual world. And don't act like you've never wondered this, because we live in a world that is fascinated with the Walking Dead and horror movies. So everybody is so looking for evidence of a spiritual world. And there is one. There is one. There is a spiritual reality for everything that's physical. For example, when God in the spiritual world thought about you, imagined you, he imagined you in the spiritual world and created you and placed you in the physical world. And that's how it works. For every physical thing, there's a spiritual reality. That means when we have a conversation with God, listen to this, our prayers are in the spiritual world. And this is what it's like, sending a bulldozer into heaven. This is what our prayers do. We go into heaven with a big bulldozer, and they start moving the earth in preparation for the miracle that God is going to give us. We need some spiritual bulldozers. Too often, we just settle for little go-karts. We don't see anything happen, but we need to pray. And then when we do that, what's in the spiritual world, God makes become a reality in the physical world. If you ever wondered that, that's how God does it. He does it through prayer. And sometimes I think that we try to bypass the spiritual world. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's just out of pride or out of the lack of discipline, but we try to bypass it a lot of times too when it's something that maybe we can't handle or something that seems too big for God. And so we worry a lot. We want to make it happen on our own strength because maybe we just don't trust God enough. And look, this is all of us. This is not just the weak people. No, this is everybody. We all deal with this. We worry a lot over things and thinking that maybe our worry will change them. But you know what? Prayer is a whole lot more effective. You'll spend a lot less emotional energy praying than you will trying to worry about something and do it yourself. Because some things in life can only be changed by the supernatural. I mean it. Some things will not budge. They will not budge unless you have the supernatural working on your behalf. And you don't believe me, have you ever tried to change a rebellious child? It is not gonna happen. You need Jesus for that child and for you so you don't go insane. You've got to have Jesus. Think about Key Point Church, what we're trying to do. We wanna see souls saved, changed, just healed, come to Jesus. We wanna reach more and expand. That's not going to happen. That is not going to happen without prayer. On top of which, think about this. It's not going to happen with just me and Casey and our staff's prayer. That's not going to cut it. It's this kind of vision, what God's laid before us, is a vision that's going to take a whole body, a whole spiritual family coming together and uniting in prayer. We need your spiritual bulldozers to go on into heaven and start moving the ground with us. The bigger the vision, the more bulldozers you need. The more of you we need to pray and say, yes, I'm with you. You've got my prayers and my faith, and we're going to join together and we're going to see God do a miracle in Northwest Arkansas and in this church. Amen? All right, now what do I pray? What do I pray? It's very simple. It's three words. Pray God's will. Now, I know what you're thinking. What in the world is God's will? How do I know God's will? How do I even figure that out? That's just, it's just too big to even comprehend. It seems like it's kind of out there somewhere and I just can't grasp it. Well, here's a simple definition of God's will. It is his desire for you. What does God desire for you? And I can tell you right off where you can find a lot of information about his desires, and that's in Scripture. Scripture has over 1,000 promises that God has given me and you available for you to pray. So, for example, if you're dealing with anxiety and you need some peace, you need to know that God's promise, his will, his desire for you is peace. He wants you to have peace, so this is what you need to do. Get online, Google or whatever you use, scriptures on peace. You will see a ton of scriptures come up. Look, print those scriptures out. And as you're praying throughout the day, quote these scriptures. Lord, your will is peace for me. You said that the peace of God will pass all understanding and guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Start quoting those things and praying those things. If you need a money miracle, do you know God's will is for you to live in abundance? He wants you to be able to pay your bills. So go online and look up abundant scriptures, provision scriptures, pray those things, health issues. God's will is for you to have healing. He wants you to be in good health. Go online and do that. This CEI, this Campus Expansion Initiative, God's will, scripture says, is that he wants none to perish, no one to die without knowing him. So therefore, we can pray that. Lord, you want none to perish, so send us more. Send us more. Send us resources. Advance us. Expand us. Give us influence so that we can reach your sons and daughters who are far away from you and your heart is crying out for them. That's the heart of God, and that is what we are going to pray. That's his will. You cannot separate the word of God and prayer. They go together because the word of God is his, it's his heart's desire written out alive on paper for you. So you know when you actually pray, you're actually getting closer to the heart of God because you're praying his desires over you. And you're learning, oh, God wants good for me. He has a future for me, plans to bless me and not to harm me. Matthew 6:10, Jesus tells us, he's actually speaking, this is how you pray. One of the things he says in verse 10 is, pray, your will be done, meaning God's will, on earth as it is in heaven. When we pray according to the Bible, God's promises, those spiritual truths, which scripture is a spiritual truth, they actually become physical realities. They actually become something tangible. So what burdens your heart? What are you worried about? What needs to be changed inside of you? Where do you want to grow? What situation is burdening you? Take those situations and pray God's will over them, his desires, and you watch how things will become tangible. Change you'll begin to see. And then the last thing is, how do I pray? I mean, do you pray like Mother Teresa? I don't even know how she prayed. Do we pray like MC Hammer? I mean, how do we pray? Do we pray standing up, lying down? Do we pray on our knees? Do we fold our hands? Do we pray in the shower, in the car? How do we pray? Well, James 5:17 actually tells us, I believe what God is more concerned about rather than the position. This is what God is telling us, that he's concerned about how we pray. Verse 17, it says, he, meaning Elijah, prayed earnestly that it would rain. Earnestly is the key. The word earnestly in the original language here means intensity. So that means Elijah prayed powerful, forceful, persistent, intense kind of prayer. Now, does that mean that we have to pace the floor and shout and jump up and down? By all means, you can do that. There's been times where I've prayed like that because I have to keep my mind in motion or I'll have squirrel moments everywhere. You know, that's ADD squirrel, that kind of thing. That happens to me really bad when I pray. So sometimes I have to get up and actually walk back and forth to keep myself engaged. But do we have to do all these crazy things to be intense? Not at all. Do you know where Elijah's intensity came from? It came from his faith. That was where his intensity was, his faith. He actually asked God to make it stop raining for 3.5 years. He was asking God, believing a crazy request to change the weather pattern. And it went down in history. It didn't rain, a drought, for 3.5 years. The intensity came from his faith. He was believing big and he was asking boldly. I wonder sometimes if our small prayers are offensive to God. I just wonder if when we pray or we approach God like this, if he's not saying, come on now, I love you, but come on. If we go to him and say, I know you're a big guy in the sky and you're busy at all. And I know I'm really a nobody. And if you have some time, could you just maybe do what I'm asking and kind of like, you know, throw me a bone every now and then. Look, God does not want to throw you a bone. He wants to do the impossible through you. He wants to change your world. He wants to do miracles. He wants to see growth in your life. God wants to really blow your mind. Now listen, I'm preaching a lot better than you're responding. So throw me a bone, please, and at least say amen. Amen. Come on. I mean, I need a little bit of encouragement myself. God wants to change your life. He doesn't want you to just approach him. Well, if you want to, what do you mean if you want to? When my children come to me, I can be having a bad day. I can be frustrated. They can be getting on my last nerve. They maybe had bad grades or didn't clean their room. But when they come to me and sit next to me and say, hey, what's going on? You want to talk? You better believe it. All that falls to the wayside. I want to have a conversation with them because they're my children. God is waiting on the edge of his throne saying, will you just come and just talk to me today? Come on, you don't have to say, would you, could you, if, I mean, I know I'm a nobody. No, you're my son or my daughter. What are you talking about? You're a nobody. I'm listening and I'm waiting. I want to converse with you. I want to talk back with you. I want to hear you. I want to listen to you. But so often we think that our prayers are either too small for God to pay attention to or too big for him to actually do something about. Neither of those are true. We got to remember here that we're actually having a conversation with the creator of the universe and he's listening. That's the miracle. He's actually listening. And not only listening, he's willing to fulfill what we're asking of him. It's just amazing. God is actually waiting on us to exercise our will to bring his will from heaven down to earth and make it a physical reality. He's actually waiting on that. There are things I believe in every one of our lives that actually we have not seen because we have not prayed. I believe that there are miracles waiting in heaven that are just there because we've not asked. We've not prayed. I believe there's answers waiting because we've not just availed ourselves to God and said, hey, I want to have a conversation with you. Here's what I'm praying about. I'm going to be bold about it. And I'm going to come before you because I know I can in confidence. And God's just waiting to give the answer. He's waiting to give the miracle. James 5:17, it says, he, meaning Elijah, he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. That word and should actually be read and so. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and so it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And so that meant the accomplishment of drought was because of prayer. And so what could be in your life? I was in need of finances and I prayed, and so I was blessed. I was struggling in my marriage, but we prayed, and so we are now united again. I was sick and I prayed, and so now I'm healed. How many things in our life are waiting for an and so? But it all hinges on prayer. So if you want to see it, the miracle that you're asking or needing, if you want to see the change in your life that you're longing for deep down within, the growth, whatever it is, the expansion, the more souls. If you want to see the CEI here, the Campus Expansion Initiative, come to reality, then I'm going to ask you, really, this is the truth. You have to pray first. It's the foundation. Pray first. Tonight, we are going to have a pathway to prayer. It's just a time where we can all come together and pray. But it's going to be different than anything you've probably ever been to. And we've been working hard. We have a woman in the church that's been really working hard helping us put this together. You're going to be able to come in and actually go on a pathway throughout this lobby. It's going to start, the auditorium. It's going to start in the lobby. We'll actually take communion together. It's going to be from 5 to 7, I believe, if that's the right time. Yes, 5 to 7. But you don't have to stay. It might even just take you 20 minutes. It's a come and go kind of thing. If you have a family, you're welcome to bring your children. They'll actually have their own booklet as they go through and pray. They can interact in this. It's going to be an amazing time, something very unique. But see, we're not just gathering together. We're gathering because we need your spiritual bulldozers working together with ours. If we want to see souls, the only way we will accomplish what it is, the vision God has given us, is if we unite in prayer. Of course God wants more souls. Of course his will is for people to come to know him. But he also wants you involved. He wants your soul involved as well. I believe he's going to hear us when we pray tonight. My favorite part about this tonight is that we're also going to take river rocks that have been collected and write the names of the people that you are praying for, people who might be far from God, who need a miracle, whatever it might be. I have so many names I'm going to have to write really small, and I can't wait to do it. And then we're going to take those rocks and put them into the foundation of the new expansion. Forever, those names will be in our foundation. But what's more than that, forever, your heart's cry will be in that foundation. Scripture says that prayer is like an incense offered up to God. What a beautiful aroma that's going to be. What an amazing sight. It's the heartbeat of God. And as we join tonight, he sees it's our heartbeat too. You talk about the favor of God when your heartbeat aligns with his. You want to see miracles in your life, then align your heart with his heart. You take care of souls. You take care of people. He'll take care of you. I'm telling you, God is so passionate about you. He's so passionate about people. And imagine what it's going to be like when those names on your rock, when they come to know Christ forever, it will be in the foundation. And you will be able to tell them, this building was built upon your name, the miracle that God is going to do. It's incredible. So I ask you to come out tonight and join us. I think it'll be a blessing for you. If you're single, single again, for your family. I can't wait to see what God does. We are in great, great days in this church. The next couple years are going to be really exciting. And it's going to start tonight. It will. I really, truly believe that as we join together. Why don't you bow your head and close your eyes with me? If you will. You know, maybe you're in here and you'd say, I don't have a relationship with God like that, so I don't know how to pray like that. I don't know. I mean, I feel so far from God. And I'm not talking about you sinning last night. I'm talking about you feel like there is a void between you and God. You just feel so far. Or maybe you've never given your heart to Christ. Maybe you've really never had an official moment where you gave your heart and you felt like you had a salvation moment. But we want to give you that opportunity. Here's what's so amazing with your head bowed and eyes still closed. This is going to excite you. You're talking about the power of prayer. We've been praying for souls over and over, really focused in on souls the last couple months in this church. This whole CEI project is about souls. Just this last service, the 10 o'clock service, I taught about prayer. This is not even a salvation message. And at least, if not more than 15 people raised their hands to get saved. That is nothing that we did. It is God making the spiritual a physical reality that we've been praying for. There's power in prayer. So if that's you and you would say, I want to be a part of that family. I want to be a part of those 15, that number. I want to give my heart to Christ today, or I want to rededicate my heart today. We're not going to ask you to stand up or embarrass you at all. In fact, this is just between you and God. But what I would like you to do is just raise your hand and look up at me just to make it official between you and God. So if that's you, raise your hand and look up at me. Thank you. It's awesome. Thank you. Yep, that's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. I see that. God sees your hand. Yes, ma'am. God sees your hand. Very good. Yes, God sees your hand back there. Come on, anyone else? Thank you. God sees your hand, and this is the best decision you've ever made. It's official now. Anyone else? Come on. There's some more people. Yes, thank you. I see you back there. You want to be a part of that number. You want to be considered the family of God. You know, we're talking about a spiritual decision. We're talking about changing your eternal destination. And I know believers in this room are praying, changing your eternal destination. And the thing is, you may not get this chance again because we're not promised tomorrow. So I'm going to give you 5 more seconds. Anyone else who would say now's the time, if the Holy Spirit's tapping on your heart and you feel that? Anyone else? 3 more seconds. Okay, let's all pray together right now out loud. Father God, come on, pray it like you mean it. Father God, thank you for your love and sending your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the cross. I receive forgiveness today. Come and clean me up. Holy Spirit, come live inside of me. Today, I am a new creation. The old me is dead, and the new me is alive in Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you, and we give you praise for the miracle of salvation. God, you are an amazing God, and we thank you for saving these souls. And we know that there is a party going on in heaven right now as we are all rejoicing with the angels over those who have come to your spiritual family. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, Lord. Amen.